Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Here again, it gets back to the mental attitude and the pride and the covetousness and the lust of human nature, okay? The hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. And that is a very profoundly interesting statement, isn't it? Handling the word of God deceitfully. It is possible to take the truth of God and to handle it deceitfully and preach a false gospel. Now that's how clever and fantastic that Satan is. Yeah, that's really something, isn't it? Okay? Is Judaism a false religion based upon substantially the truth of God? Based upon a false premise which says anything you do in the seed of Moses is right? Is not Catholicism based upon the word of God, but handled deceitfully? Because we have a pope who has authority to do exactly the same thing that the rabbis do. Okay? And it's interesting, they wear the same kind of little hat. I like the one with the propeller on it best. Handling the word of God deceitfully. You know, that is absolutely astounding when you realize that. You can deceive by improperly applying the truth. And I think if you know, we were talking about that judgment the other day, and I think that was a really good example of how a judge dealt with the fact, but he overlooked the whole implication of everything involved. So that is handling something which is true in a way which turns out false. Now you have to be really spiritually mature to understand that. And there wouldn't be too many churches of God that I could make that statement like that without having someone gnash their teeth out in the audience. Because truth is truth, because truth is truth. Yes. But the one handling it, that's the question, not the word of God. Okay? Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And in the Greek, that is, in the tense, are being lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now let's understand something, what this is telling us. If the God of this world, who is Satan, which it is the one who is blinding their minds, and the word of God is being handled deceitfully, does that not just prove what we just said here? Okay. Didn't he say in Galatians, the first chapter, that some are coming preaching another gospel? All right. Whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So we can take this young man who was born blind as symbolic of the rest of the world that has been blinded by Satan the devil. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God has commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, and has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So those are really some profound statements right there when you just think about it. And I think lots of times when we go through and we study the Bible, lots of times we just read it without stopping to think as we go along or stopping to meditate. So when you study the Bible, stop and think and meditate and ask, what does this mean? What can this, how can this be applied? And I think we'll be amazed how much that we can learn out of the Bible that way. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. And this scripture we'll just pass over without too much comment because we've gone over it quite a bit in the past. Wherein in past times you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit which now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conduct in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. How did we get to that condition? Because we were deceived by this society which has been deceived by Satan. Now, let's go to Ephesians 4 and verse 17. And we'll show how this blindness takes place. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And we're getting back to vanity and pride again. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So when that blindness is lifted from these people, when Satan is removed and bound, and then when the second resurrection takes place and these people are resurrected into a society where there is no longer Satan to be there, they're given new bodies, they're given new minds, they are given spiritual vision and also physical vision, that's going to be a tremendous, tremendous thing. The only thing they'll have to contend with will be their own pride. And those who continue in their own pride will not make it into the kingdom of God. Now, we could go through all kinds of other scriptures, which I have here. I will just list them so you can read them, okay? Go through Matthew 15, verses 1 through 14. And you read about how that the traditions of the Jews, Matthew 15, verses 1 through 14, blinded their understanding to the truth of the commandments of God. Okay, then we can go to Romans 11 and verse 25, which says that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Then you go to Matthew 13, verses 13 through 17, and why has that blindness happened? Because they weren't willing to listen, and they weren't willing to see, and they hardened their hearts. Okay? Then study Luke 4, verses 16 on down through about 19. Now, let's turn to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, and let's show that during the salvation, during the millennium, which blindness is going to be taken from all the Gentiles then, and at the second resurrection, when all of those who never had an opportunity for salvation are resurrected, then God is going to take away the blindness from their hearts. Isaiah 42 and verse 5. Thus says God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, He that gives bread unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand, and will keep you, and will give you a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes. Now, this is the other scriptures that I'm referring to here was all of the spiritual blindness that took place, because they were deceived of Satan the devil. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, to set them that sit in darkness, to bring them out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. All right, now let's go back to chapter 9. John, the 9th chapter. And this has got to be one of the funniest parts of the book of John. Listen here. This would be another classical movie thing you could do. Okay? So when Jesus answered and said, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. Now that's what's going to happen with all the rest of the people of the world. The glory of God is going to be manifest in them when they have the blindness removed. He says, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. There are certain periods in history when that has happened. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, now he did it in such a way that obviously it would offend the Pharisees. Now there's one statement where, in Matthew 15 you will see where the disciples came and said, in saying that, Lord, you offended the Pharisees. And he said, are you also without understanding? Okay. Now he did this. This will offend the Pharisees. Okay. So when he had spoken thus, he spat on the ground. I don't know how much spit it would take to do that, but you have to work up a little mud here. Okay. And made mud of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Well, that's not a very sanitary way to do it, you know, but that's what he did. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. So he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Now here starts all the funny part. The neighbors, therefore, which had before had seen him that was blind, said, is this not he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he, and others said, he's like him. You can't depend on eyewitnesses, right? Even clever lawyers know this. But he said, it's me. I'm the one. Okay. Therefore, they said unto him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received my sight. It's just a simple, simple thing. Okay. And then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. So they brought him to the Pharisees, the one that was before time was blind. And it was on the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight, and he said to them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed in due seed. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God because he keeps not the Sabbath day. You know, it's work. Get a little spittle, mix it in the dust, put it on his eyes. Obviously, you are mortaring, right? That'd be mortaring on the Sabbath? Okay, he keeps not the Sabbath. Okay, others said, so he even split the ranks of the Pharisees. We'll see one of these days how that there were Pharisees who believed Acts the 15th chapter, and it caused the church no end of trouble because they couldn't get rid of all their Phariseeism. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? So there was a division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, what say you of him that opened your eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. And the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received the sight. So they said, oh, we're not going to believe you. He's standing right there. Yes, I was the one. Others said, yes, he's the one. The Pharisees said, well, let's get his parents. They ought to know. So they asked them, saying, they can probably just see the council up there. Here's this guy standing out there and a multitude in back. Some of the Pharisees up over on this side were for Jesus. These were against Jesus. Now, they didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue, so there was some fear. Now, I've been before councils like that, and I kind of know what that's like, see? Okay? So, they called the parents, and they asked them, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? Okay, now it's not a matter of fact that it was that he was born blind. Who you say that was born blind, okay? How does he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know not how this, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age? Ask him. He'll speak for himself. We wash our hands of this matter, you know. He's got a driver's license, you know, so to speak. All right, ask him, let him speak for himself. And these words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And, you know, that's when we get through a little bit more on the studying of the Jews, we will see that how in the book by Samuel Bakayoko, The Hatred of the Jews Toward the Christians, that if any man came into the congregation and said Jesus was the Christ, they were thrust out. They were kicked out, disfellowshipped, excommunicated. Now that's why verse 23, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. Then again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Have you ever heard it where you've been asked to come forward and say something to credit somebody and discredit somebody else? Okay, now he said here in verse 25, he was smart. He answered and said, now whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And then they said to him again, what did he to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? So he really spoke back. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. You know, boy, some of these councils must have been something. You know, the arguments going on there. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. You know, you talk about being inspired of God. I'm sure God just inspired him, and just like the promise was to the disciples, when you're hauled before councils and the synagogues, don't put in your heart what to say. God will inspire it right then. So he said, herein is a marvelous thing, and you know not from where he is? And yet he opened my eyes. Now we know that God hears not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him God hears. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And then they answered unto him, you were altogether born in sins, and do you teach us? And they cast him out. They picked him up in bodily, carried him out. Get the deacons, get rid of this man, you know. Okay? Jesus heard that when they had cast him out, and when he found him, he said to him, do you believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. Now, can you imagine how he felt right at that point, looking at Jesus right in the face? That must have been something. You talk about having an experience that would stand the hair in the back of your neck straight up. That must have been one of those experiences. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now, how were the Pharisees made blind? They were deceived by their own pride and vanity. And who is the king over them? Satan the devil. Who is the father of their diabolical religion? Satan. Now, they have the truth of the Scriptures, and inasmuch as they apply the truth of the Scriptures to their lives, they're following God. So I don't want to take this as a blanket condemnation of all Jews. It isn't. It's the Jewish leaders who have developed all of these things, okay? And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words. Now, they knew the whole thing that was going on then, didn't they? They heard his words. And they said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Quite a lesson, that whole chapter here, in the ninth chapter of the book of John. I know that if I try starting chapter 10, I won't be able to get it on the rest of the tape that we have left, and we might take a little extra time on that. So I'll save this for another time. Anyway, we've covered the major portion of the things that I wanted to cover during the Feast of Tabernacles on the series in John. Now, we do have a few minutes left, so if you have any comments or any questions or something, we can go ahead and take those. Go back and review John 9 and verse 41. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin." In other words, did they have the Word of God there? Yes, they did. He's telling us that they saw and they knew and they understood and they refused. See, they refused, but they knew. And they said, well, we don't know, but they really knew. See? So they were supposed to be the ones who said, we see. See? Now, if a person were truly blind, if they were truly spiritually blind, not from just their own determination alone, but if they were truly spiritually blind through no fault of their own, then they would have no sin imputed to them in the same way. So in other words, the one who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And Jesus said to the servant who sins and knows he's sinning, shall be beaten with many stripes. The one who sins and does not know it is sin shall be beaten with few stripes. So this is what it is talking about here. Now, I hope that I can clarify that a little bit more in another sermon about that prophet, knowing that Christ was Christ, knowing that he was coming. They knew when Christ would come. They understood the prophecies. And they were looking for him. That's why when they went out to John, they said, are you the Christ? Are you the prophet? Why would they go out and ask John? Unless they didn't understand certain things. So, if you were blind, you should have no sin. That could also apply to the fact that if they were just... we could just take another part of it. If they were physically blind, see, and had not seen all the things which they had seen, then obviously they would not have sin. But they knew. But you say now, we see, therefore your sin remains. In other words, they're saying, we see because we're Moses' disciple. We see because we keep the law of Moses, which in fact was really not keeping the law of Moses, as Jesus pointed out to them. We know that this man is of the devil, referring to Christ, that he's demon-possessed. Didn't we say truthfully that you were a Samaritan, see? And they knew better, see? So I would have to say that's what that's referring to there. That if it were a matter that they were truly blind, but they weren't. A person can blind himself to something, but he's not truly blind. I mean, you can hide your eyes from something, but you've already seen it. But if you hide your eyes, you know what it is. And that's what the Pharisees were doing here. I hope that explains it a little bit for you there.